Well, let's get into our sermon time. From roughly the year 1500 AD into the mid-1800s, approximately 12.5 million Africans were kidnapped and forced into slavery. This was called the transatlantic slave trade, and the United Nations has labeled it the largest forced migration in human history. Some 6% of that 12.5 million Africans ended up in America. Now, we're all pretty familiar with the absolutely terrible things that the slaves in America experienced, being treated as property, less than human, beaten, abused, raped, forced into difficult manual labor. And even after the United States outlawed the transatlantic slave trade, a domestic slave trade kept functioning until the end of the Civil War, which meant that the abuse continued. Spouses were separated from one another. Children were taken and separated from their parents. These are people who knew suffering. One of the ways these folks tried to cope with that suffering was by putting their emotions and experiences into song. They would sing out of their sadness. They'd sing as they worked in the fields, they'd sing in their homes, and after many of these African Americans started becoming Christians in the 1700s, their songs started to contain Christian lyrics, and they then also would be sung in church. And what is called the Negro spiritual was born, and I'm pretty confident that while the term Negro in itself should no longer be used, I believe it's considered okay in African American circles to still use that term as a label for this category of song. Most all of the Negro spirituals were laments. And a lament is defined as a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. That's what these songs were, and for good reason. This was suffering in song. Well, compared to the American slaves of those years, you and I, of course, lived tremendously blessed lives. And really, to even suggest a comparison between us and those folks would be insensitive. But that doesn't mean that we don't suffer in our lives. We do at times, right? And if you pull the camera lens back even further to have the whole world in view, we know that so many people today still suffer terribly. Suffering didn't leave the planet once slavery was abolished. There's been a bit of a theme of pain and suffering here at Calvary over the past couple of weeks. You know, we had two funerals here this last week, one for Diane Swenson and one for Armando Vargas Sr. And in the week prior to that, as an example, the Vargas family had to sit bedside and experience the last difficult days and hours of this man they loved. Really, really tough stuff. I've spoken to others of you in the last couple of weeks, too, who have loved ones continuing to battle cancer and your heart aches for them. And again, if we pull the camera lens back and think of things that have gone on in recent weeks within our world, Israel, Ukraine, the most recent American shooting event in Maine, it's been heavy. I've been feeling heavy from all of that. So, yeah, there's been a theme of suffering recently. Reasons abound for serious lament. Well, you know, while the Bible gets criticized by many people in our modern age, one thing people cannot criticize it for is being aloof to the suffering that human beings experience in life. You might think that a religion would try to suppress talk of suffering or, ignore pain. But that is not what the Bible does. The Bible is a very real book. We can find expressions of pain and terrible suffering all the way through its pages. For example, the various psalms in the book of Psalms can be categorized into five different types, psalm types. The number one psalm type that is to be found in that book, and it accounts for 58 of the 150 total psalms in the book, is the psalm type of lament. The Bible understands and expresses human suffering. I want us to consider the lament today. Next Sunday at 5 p.m., we will have our Pie and Praise event, which will kick off Thanksgiving week. And in that event, we'll turn our minds to the blessings we have in our lives. We'll praise God for the good he has brought to us. And it is okay to do these two contrasting themes in back-to-back weeks. At Diane Swinson's funeral this past Tuesday, we considered how each human life, Diane being no exception, has joy in it. Joy from the big things in life, joy from the little things in life, and each human life also has suffering in it. Sometimes we praise, sometimes we lament. This is life. So this morning we will talk about how there is a time in life to lament. Next Sunday morning I want us to consider how the suffering on this planet should compel us into a passionate push to spread the gospel. So we'll talk about how there is a time in life to get after sharing the gospel with people. Talk about missions and the mission Jesus gave to us. And then in the evening at Pie and Praise, we'll switch into this there is a time in life to praise theme. And we may do more of that the Sunday following Thanksgiving as well. I haven't completely decided on that. But anyhow, so there is a time to lament, there's a time to get after sharing the gospel, and there's a time to praise. Today we lament. What are some of the reasons for suffering that people experience in the world today? Well, we've already started talking about one of them, and that would be death. And boy, this really isn't, death from the fantasy shows on TV. If you've been watching the news, you know that we're often here now not talking about sanitized or even medicated death. There are some nightmarishly brutal deaths that people have been experiencing, stuff that, in all honesty, is too difficult to watch or even let yourself think about. And once the death has occurred, of course, then the suffering transfers to the people left behind who loved that person, for whom that person was important. And if you've lived a significant number of years on this planet, the odds are strong that somebody you loved was taken from you by death, whether that person was in old age or, even the other extreme. And this has left you with wounds. Well, if you open your Bibles when you suffer, you'll find that the people whose stories form the history described in that book had the same types of experiences and feelings. Here's an example from Genesis 37. It says, they took the ornate robe back to their father and said, we found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe. He recognized it and said, it is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son for many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. No, he said, I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave. And his father wept for him. Can you relate to that? There's an entire book in the Old Testament called Lamentations. A whole book of lament. It's a lament over the death of loved people, but not just one or two people. When God had finally had enough of Israel's complete betrayal over their covenant commitment to him, their sin had become so bad that some of them were even offering children in sacrifice to false gods. The one true God took his shield of protection off of them. And they subsequently were ruthlessly conquered by the Babylonians, many of them starving to death in a siege upon Jerusalem, many slaughtered by the sword. And suddenly Jeremiah, the author of Lamentations, is looking around at his city and he says the people that he knew are gone. The people he knew were dead. And so he writes in that book words of lament like this. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to her festivals. Her king and her princes are exiled. Her prophets no longer find visions from the Lord. The elders of daughter Zion sit on the ground in silence. They've sprinkled dust on their heads and put on sackcloth. My eyes fail from weeping. I'm in torment within. My heart is poured out on the ground because my people are destroyed. Joy, it's gone from our hearts. Our dancing has turned to mourning. Our hearts are faint. Our eyes grow dim. The people in the Bible experienced deep grief from the death of loved ones, and they expressed it. So let me tell you a thought that comes to my mind when I see just how open the Bible is to talking about the suffering that happens in life. What that says to me is that God is okay hearing from us when we suffer. I believe it's okay if you're suffering from a loved one's death to cry out your pain to God. If God's prophet Jeremiah can write words of pain like the ones we just read there, then it's got to be okay for us to put our torment into our prayers. The patriarch Jacob mourned his son Joseph's apparent death. The prophet Jeremiah expressed tremendous sorrow and pain through writing it down. You can pour out your pain to God too. And well, this is exactly what the African American slaves did, right? Let's listen to an example now of one of their laments.
I've been in the storm so long. I've been in the storm so long, children. I've been in the storm so long. Oh, give me a little time to pray. Said I've been in the storm so long. Yes, I've been in.
Maybe your suffering these days isn't from a death, but is from a different type of lost relationship, a relationship with a friend or a family member that has just broken down completely and left you hurting. Maybe it was a breakup, or worse than that, a divorce. Has the one who loved you, or who at least was supposed to love you and be a rock in your life, have they abandoned you, turned their back on you? Did they say false things about you? Have they betrayed you? I said in a sermon here not too long ago that sometimes the pain that comes from situations like these can be worse than the pain that comes from a death. At least in the death, there wasn't a rejection of you. In this category of pain, the one who's missing from your life now chose to leave. That really, really hurts. Or perhaps the source of your relationship pain these days isn't from someone who left. They're still there, but the relationship is dysfunctional and there doesn't seem to be much hope for a change for the better. These kinds of things can knock the wind out of your sails for a very long time. Depression can set in. I went through a period of depression in my life where I remember looking up at a beautiful blue summer sky, knowing that I should be enjoying it, but there was just absolutely no joy to be found anywhere within me. I was empty and broken. If that's you right now, well, the Bible likely has words within it that express exactly what you have been feeling inside. Here come some of those Psalms of lament. Turn to me and help me, God, for I'm lonely and I'm afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. How long shall I have sorrow in my heart all day long? Incline your ear to me. Rescue me quickly. Be to me a rock of strength, a stronghold to save me. I'm like a broken vessel. Job is in such deep depression that these are the words that came out of his lips. Oh, why did I not perish at birth and die as I came from the womb? Why was I not hidden away in the ground like a stillborn child, like an infant who never saw the light of day? The fact that the Holy Bible contains words like these in it tells me that it's okay to cry out your pain to God. You don't have to be a tough guy when you're with him. Let's listen again to how the suffering slaves put it. This next little song clip has an up-tempo beat, but if you pay attention to the words, you will hear that it too was written out of sorrow. Suffering obviously can come from a good variety of things. We'll just consider one more category, the suffering that comes from broken health. And we think of those who have been seriously wounded in the wars raging in Israel and Ukraine right now. Broken bodies. We could think again of Americans' veterans and all they've been through in past conflicts. Of course, sometimes our health isn't broken from something external. They just break down internally, right? And I think of people from our own membership here who struggled for many years with chronic health issues, Diane Swenson being one of them. Carol Harberts and Mel Beatty come to mind. Some of you suffer from ongoing pain in your daily lives, and it can get unbearable. The Bible knows your pain too. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress, it says in Psalm 31. My life is spent with sorrow, my years with sighing, my strength has failed, my body is wasted away. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am afflicted and needy. Be gracious to me, Lord, for to you I cry all day long. Turn to me and help me. Grant your strength to your servant. He's made me in these spots. Why do you always forget us, it says in Lamentations 5. Why do you forsake us so long? Renew our days as of old. And from King David in the Psalms, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Of course, even the Son of God himself, our Lord Jesus, knew what it was like to face bodily pain. He knew what it was like to face anguish from having to go on a life path that he dearly did not want to travel. And Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Well, if Jesus prayed like that, then it certainly is okay for you and me to cry out our pain to God. These are all laments. Let's listen to one last lament in song again. Again, this is African-American slaves, beaten, abused, demeaned, calling out to God in their distress.
Thank you.
offering in song. Well, my purpose in today's sermon is not to resolve the question of why we suffer. We've done plenty of that kind of thing in previous sermons. Today, we're mostly just going to sit with it. It's real and it's heavy. But it would be unwise for me to not at least mention something that you already know, and that is that just as suffering is a major theme in the Bible, so is hope, so is life, so is healing. Let's go quickly back into the laments we've been reading from the Bible today and see where those people looked to for hope in the midst of their sorrow. King David, after writing, "How long will you hide your face from me, Lord?" writes this, "But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I'll sing to the Lord." Elsewhere, from the same lament psalms we heard from earlier, we read, "You are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me. As for me, I trust you, Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands." And Psalm 86, "But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. You, O Lord, have helped me and have comforted me." We saw that Jesus in his prayer of anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane, ultimately he was okay with submitting to his Father's will. Knowing that would be the best path in the end, he trusted God. And then right smack dab in the middle of Lamentations, that book about the most awful experience in Israel's biblical history, suddenly the author Jeremiah writes this, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." The people in the Bible communicated their pain and sorrow and confusion to God, but in the end, they also found hope in him. And wasn't it the same with those African-American slaves, the spirituals they wrote that we just looked at? It, the one who's saying, "I've been in the storm so long," also heard the voice of Jesus say, "Lay your weary head on my chest." The choir that's saying, "I'm tired and weak and worn," also asked God to take my hand and lead me. "Let me stand." The one who's saying, "I ain't got long to stay here," was going to steal away to Jesus. The authors of the Negro spirituals also knew who to look to for hope. So there is hope, though that's not my main purpose to talk about today. My central desire for today was simply to tell you that when you suffer in life, it is very much okay to cry out your pain to God. Well, since this has been a sermon involving song, I want to end it with song as well. You know, we have lament in our music too, in Christian contemporary music. I want to close the sermon off today by singing a song that popped into my head as I was writing this talk. This song has some characteristics of the lament passages we've seen today, and it also expresses the confidence that so many of those biblical laments do, that ultimately God is going to come through for us. In fact, the song is based on Psalm 121. I think that some of you will know this song already. Hopefully the rest of you will figure out the tune enough as we go along that we can all use it right now to sing a prayer to God as we close things off here. With whatever your suffering is in mind, let's express our feelings to our God through these lyrics now. We'll sing it through a couple times, just a cappella. The words will be on the screen. And just join with me as you're ready to. It goes like this. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, maker of heaven, creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You are my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me, to come and give me life. Let's do it again. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, maker of heaven, creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you. You are my only hope. You are my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me, to come and give me life. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Our help comes from you, Lord God. Come and save us. Amen.